You're listening to a special episode of the Everything Life Coaching Podcast, Coaching Mastery with Noelle Cordeau, CEO of Lumia. Explore transformative coaching concepts, tried and true methodologies, and powerful insights from the front lines of the professional coaching field. Whether you're an established coach seeking fresh perspectives or looking to begin your coach training education, welcome to your one-stop resource for all things life coaching. This is Coaching Mastery.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Everything Life Coaching. Noelle here. And today I am delighted to be with you unpacking an article that came out in the New York Times talking about workforce, workplace, wellness programs, and a recent slate of research that came out looking at their effectiveness. And the researchers that were interviewed by the Times have concluded that they have little benefit, significantly less than was projected when all of these programs went into effect. Now, this article takes a look at workforce wellness offerings such as apps, coaching, and courses in time management or financial well-being. These are all services that are offered to employees as a benefit. And the findings say that they didn't have a positive effect. And while resilience and stress management trainings were anticipated to really boost morale, they actually seemed to have a negative impact. So why do we care and why are we talking about this? According to the article in the Times, employee mental health services have become a billion-dollar industry, and new employees are often presented with all sorts of digital wellness solutions like mindfulness seminars, massage classes, resilience workshops, coaching sessions through apps like BetterUp and sleep apps. And this has mostly taken place in a post-pandemic landscape. Now, it's important to kind of put everything in context historically, because when the pandemic first hit, DEI and wellness initiatives were the first programs to be cut. And then the pendulum swung back the other way when there was a wide-based outcry as workers realized that the companies that they were relying on to care for them wouldn't and weren't. And then we saw the Great Resignation, the phenomenon of quiet quitting, and the Office of the Surgeon General even put out a framework for employee well-being in response to the grave economic crisis that an unengaged workforce would cause. According to the New York Times, these programs have often been a point of pride for forward-thinking human resource departments. And this has often been used as evidence that employers care about their workers. Now, the research that this article was based on in the Times came from a British firm and a British researcher who very specifically analyzed survey responses of almost 50,000 workers at companies who offered these kinds of programs. And what they found were that people who participated in all of these well-being programs were no better off than colleagues who did not. There was one notable exception, and that was people who were given the opportunity to do volunteer or charity work did see a boost in their overall well-being. What has failed, according to the Times article, is really app-based classes and services, relaxation classes, financial health classes, coaching for individual needs that were disconnected from the workplace and disconnected from the real-time experience of the workers themselves, that all of these nice-to-haves were ignoring the glaring realities of everyday lived experience where there were a whole lot of need-to-haves. According to the folks who conducted the study, it was a fairly controversial finding that these very popular programs were not effective. And this came out of the Oxford University's Wellbeing Research Center. So let's zoom out for a moment and take stock of what's going on in the world and what's going on in the workplace. So the problems that we face are really significant right now. 40% of business leaders say that Gen Z is unprepared for the workforce. Thinking about Gen Z, this is the loneliest generation right now. Gen Z represents ages spanning 11 to 26 years old, and there is a genuine crisis taking place within this generation around feelings of belonging, connection, attachment to others, and they're getting dunked on by employers. What is showing up is that employers are saying that Gen Z lacks work ethic and communication skills. Now, this is a generation that came of age or really grew into early tween years during the pandemic. So this is a whole group of folks who missed out on key social integration at school. And the impact of tech integration for this generation also can't be ignored, because a lot of time for these young people has been spent behind screens, not knowing what true conflict feels like in real life when you're face to face with someone or on the phone with someone, or even engaging in a Zoom environment where you have conflict with somebody that you don't see every day or talk to every day. This is a really tricky dilemma that we face. Another thing that is going on is that 72% of companies globally say that they've now mandated office returns. And there's a higher level of employee attrition than was anticipated. And there's also a staggering lack of recruitment right now, where one-third, 25, 29% of employers are struggling to recruit altogether. Burnout is something significant that's taking place globally. In North America specifically, 36% of employees suffer from burnout symptoms. I have experienced really bad burnout in the last year, and I can tell you it's real, and it's common, and it is something that we should be able to talk about openly to understand the symptoms of it, how it shows up for us in the workplace, and have an empathetic approach to it. And then there is, as I mentioned earlier, not just for Gen Z, but a broader, greater epidemic of loneliness and isolation. So this goes beyond the workplace, and it leads into academic achievement, our home lives. Social connection is something that is a really important determiner of mental health, and more broadly, community well-being, including population health, community resilience, safety, economic prosperity, and a representative government are all tied to having social connection. So we have big problems within our society in looking at this widespread phenomenon. A 2022 study found that when people were asked how close they felt to others, 39% of adults in the U.S. said they felt very little connection to each other. And medical students especially are really feeling isolated right now, and they're dropping out. And the lack of social connection is a prime reason that they cite for leaving a medical program. And so this is impacting our future healthcare providers. Another thing that I think we should be paying attention to as we're considering, you know, why did all of these workforce initiatives fail, is, well, rudeness is on the rise. 62% of employees report being treated rudely by colleagues at least once a month. And this includes insults, put downs, crude language, or interrupting. 48% of employees feel disrespected at work, and they intentionally decrease their work effort as a result. 80% of employees who feel disrespected at work lose time worrying about the work incident, and 38% of employees who feel disrespected at work intentionally decrease the quality of their work, right? So this is the landscape. that we're juxtaposing wellness initiatives against that provide app-based services, classes, shiny things for employees to glom onto. Dr. Fleming, the expert who was interviewed by The Times, suggests that employers who are concerned about workers' mental health would do better to focus on what they call core organizational practices, like schedules, pay, and performance reviews. What we know from so much of the literature is that folks want to feel that they have permission to exist at work. This includes freedom from things like rudeness. They want to understand what their job is, how to do their job, and how to progress within their organization or within their field. So if employees do want access to mindfulness apps, sleep programs, and well-being apps, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think what Dr. Fleming is trying to suggest is that there's nothing wrong if folks do want access to mindfulness apps and sleep programs. But if employers are seriously trying to drive well-being, then the focus has to be turned towards working practices and the working environment, and really specifically the way that folks are experiencing their emotional lives within the workforce. Also, according to The Times, these findings call into question practices that have become commonplace across job sectors. But researchers say that this information and this data did not come as a surprise. Why is that? Other experts interviewed by The Times stated much of the obvious, that employees can see that a lot of these programs are based on optics, and that there's the ever heavy burden of toxic individualism where, sure, we're going to provide you with an app on mindfulness, but it's up to you to really deal with your mental health if you're struggling or suffering. Employers want to be seen as doing something, according to the Times article, but they don't want to look closely at the way that change is organized in the workplace. And this is where the disconnect is taking place. Workplace mental health interventions may send a message that if you do these programs and you're still feeling stressed, it must be on you. And people who don't have the wherewithal to understand the interplays and the larger systems that are working in terms of optics and decision-making and how programs are laid out might internalize their own inability to connect to these offerings as a failure. And The Times suggests that folks might say, "So I really am a loser," which is not a feeling that I don't think anybody wants for themselves or each other. The corporate wellness services industry has ballooned in recent years, and it creates billions of dollars in revenue. And so companies invest in these interventions in the hopes of saving money overall by improving worker health and productivity. And while this is true, while this is the trend, there are organizations who are doing it right. There are organizations who are turning the dial towards how workers feel, what they're experiencing at work, what are the core skills that they need to do their jobs, and looking at emotional well-being from a tactical perspective in terms of employee engagement. Walmart is one of the recent leaders in this space, and they're using coaching right now, looking at how the emotional capacity of managers contributes to well-being. Now, this is a very different construct than what we talked about earlier with simply providing employees with coaching services through an app. What Walmart is doing is providing leadership training to thousands of store managers in order to equip these managers with the skills and knowledge to lead hundreds of associates. This includes understanding values. This includes empathy training, which I can't emphasize the importance of empathy training enough. Empathy training is everything for leaders. How to further engage with customers and communities in embracing change. So the big three that we're seeing here are communication skills, empathy training, and how to embrace change. These are all things that don't come naturally to humans, but can be taught. And when folks who are in positions where they directly influence the everyday emotional experience of others are equipped with these skills, this is when we begin to see ripples created with true workforce wellness. Because nobody wakes up in the morning and says, you know, I want to be a bad manager and I want to make people miserable. People are often devastated when they find out that that's the case. And yet there are very few places in the world that are actually providing the core training to their managers to be able to do better. The International Coaching Federation and mainstream publications like Forbes are also examining what does work. And so far, a lot of the early data indicates that coaching and coach training impacts the everyday emotional experience that folks have when leaders are trained as coaches. This is really similar to what Walmart is doing. And the reason that I'm positioning this within the context of coach training is obviously this is what we do at Lumia. And coach training really specifically gives you the skills that you need in order to have the impact that is required of our time. Again, we're talking about empathy. We're talking about cultural competency, understanding people who are different than you. We're talking about listening skills, speaking skills. We're talking about the art of asking questions versus the common standard of telling someone what to do. There are a lot of different studies that have come out. Harvard Business Review is one of the leaders in examining how coaching impacts the workforce. The ICF, the International Coaching Federation, is another fantastic producer of this research. The ICF tells us that simply telling leaders to be empathetic and compassionate is important, but it's not enough. Providing leaders with coaching and training early in their career can lead to greater growth and influence in this arena. Another company that was featured in Fortune replaced all of its managers with coaches. And what happened was the workforce became much, much happier. From Fortune magazine, introducing coaches has had a major impact in terms of both engagement and productivity. We use Gallup's survey to rate employee engagement, and after bringing in coaches, this company that was featured ranked in the top 1% of teams worldwide. The Harvard Business Review article, Leader as Coach, is really a seminal work in introducing this concept. And this article tells us that in the face of rapid and disruptive change, companies are realizing that managers can't be expected to have all the answers and that command and control leadership is no longer viable. The role of the manager, in short, is becoming that of the coach. And we go on and on and on with the pull quotes and the research, looking at the way that organizations, leaders, managers who are given the opportunity, the core skills, and the training to do things differently are becoming incredibly successful in turning the dial in workforce wellness and true employee well-being. Forbes tells us, you always knew that demonstrating empathy is positive for people, but new research demonstrates its importance for everything from innovation to retention. Great leadership requires a fine mix of all kinds of skills to create the conditions for engagement, happiness, performance, and empathy tops the list. Now, soft skills are not often considered in workforce development training, or in leadership development training. But happily, I think that the tide is starting to turn. And hopefully, articles like the one that was just put forth in the Times is going to shine a flashlight on what needs to happen instead of what has been currently created in terms of optics, band-aids, shiny things, and benefits for employees that aren't actually changing the day out, day in and day out at most organizations. So what we're seeing as this trend continues to unfold is that the Times article is right. Fluffy benefits are largely designed to provide virtue signaling for corporations, and they won't work to move the needle for employee well-being. What does work and will work, however, is direct human interventions for the people who work together every day and core skills to help folks from feeling lost and unsure of how to engage with each other. This looks like support for managers and stakeholders to give folks socio-emotional support alongside of career progression with demonstrable increases in compassion and empathy. Coach training gives us all of these durable skills. We're looking at growth mindset, flexibility, empathy, self-awareness, collaboration, planning and goal setting, communication, critical thinking, and problem solving. If you're interested in learning more about this, come see me over at lumiacoaching.com and let's talk about what coach training can do to increase your well-being alongside of everyone around you. Thanks so much. Thanks for tuning in and wishes for a great day. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Everything Life Coaching. If you're feeling the draw to become a coach, head to lumiacoaching.com/everything. Explore a new career that brings fulfillment, gives you a true sense of purpose, and a bold community to do it with.
Lumia is ready to equip you with the tools, training, and community you will need to reach your goals. If you're ready to build a unique coaching business on your own terms while making an impact on the world at large, Lumia is the next bold step in your coaching journey. That's lumiacoaching.com/everything.
And hey, if you're waiting for a sign, this is it.